This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Dramatic pause. A dramatic pause says something without saying anything at all. Dramatic pause is a go-to for podcasters, presidents, and radio voiceovers. It makes you look really smart, even if you're not. Feet deserve a go-to like that. Like Hey Dude Shoes. Light, comfy, good to go to.
Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and joining me right now is Max Cohen and Yana Shinaeus. This is our post-match show of Fulham's 2-0 loss to Crystal Palace on Saturday. This was a very bad loss for Fulham, and we're going to be going into it in detail, and it should be very interesting to talk about it once again. All right, guys, before we get into the show, Max, I'm going to go to you, and I want to get your opening thoughts, see if you feel any different from us doing the full-time show, but I'm going to share this with you, and I want you to try to guess who wrote this on Facebook, and I think it's going to become obvious. Someone wrote this yesterday, about 20 hours ago, and let's see if you can figure out the person and by the person's thoughts here. He put this in several Facebook groups. Fulham till I die. However, here are my thoughts. Tony Khan must step down. Ranieri must go now, and here's why. Poorly set up today. Kearney is not a wide player. Failure to bed in youngsters into 18. Steven Sessegnon, Eden, etc. Bringing on Fosu instead of Sess, sacrilege. Bringing on Ayite instead of Sess, unforgivable. Acute lack of fight. Team has quit on Claudio Ranieri. Call me mad. It's time for Allardyce. Okay, Max, who said that?
Sounds like someone pretty close to both of us. I think it's going to be Giannis wrote those words. And you know what? I'm going to disagree with some of that, but most of that, I think he's 100% spot on. I really do. And it's hard for me to say because if you guys recall, I remember back in November or whatever, I was pretty okay with Slavisa being sacked, of course.
Yep.
It hurt because it meant so much, but I was okay with the decision.
Have you changed your mind? Call.
And I also thought Ranieri was the right man.
Okay.
I was someone very early on said, listen, this guy has a pedigree that's going to be good for us. And I'll put my hands up here and say, I'm wrong.
Wow.
If you look at what Ranieri's done since he's took over from Slavisa, he's taken a ship that was really sinking, right?
Yep.
We were shipping goals. We were losing matches. He made us more solid and he's made us a better team. I strongly believe he's made us a better team. That being said, he's not done enough. And in many cases, he's made us a worse team. What I'm going to say is that the things about the substitutions, the way he's treated Sessegnon, for me, it's still – I was furious yesterday after the match, and I still am.
Okay.
Because that is unforgivable. That's top up there. What he's done to Kearney is also top up there because he's taken a player who can be so critical to us and shunted him out wide. And he's also taken away, I think – I hate to say this because it's a bit of a cliche, but he's taken away what made Fulham what it was, you know? I think I don't see that that same identity. If you ask me, what is Fulham now? What do we stand for in the Premier League? I couldn't tell you, Russ. We play a back five, but then we switch to a back four. We don't have the, apparently the players engineered that second half comeback against Brighton because he reverts right back to the same poor defensive, just negative back five to start off against Palace. The tactics of bringing on, you know, Aite, it makes no sense. It just feels directionless, Russ. And at this point, I mean, I don't know if I bring in Sam Allardyce, but it's tough because there are 13 matches left to play around about, and I just cannot really see Ranieri. I don't have confidence in him anymore to bring us out of this mess. I really don't.
Wow. I just want to say this. You admitted you were wrong. That's very big of you to say that when we go back to the whole thing about Savisa. I was not in favor of it, but when Ranieri came in, I was in favor of who was coming in for him. Has it worked? I don't think it's worked enough, and that's the way you put it, so I'm there with you. All right, Mr. Janaeus, you got us started with your post from yesterday. I thought that would be a fun way to get us going there. The one thing that stands out to me, and I said this on the full-time show, I was thinking about it this morning. It's the Tom Cairney thing that I can't get over. I know you're focusing on the Sessegnon thing even more. You've mentioned that. But for me, it comes down to Cairney. We all know Cairney should not be in that position that he's in. And Claudio Ranieri has all this experience. And why can he not see what we all can see? That's what I just don't understand. Is it just that it's my way? This is how we're going to do it? Because Tom Cairney out wide is a square peg in a round hole. And that's where, really, Ranieri has lost me, Giannis. So I understand why you put that in. But you also had some other good points. I'm not sold on Allardyce either. But I want to go back to what Max said, saying he was wrong about the whole situation with Savisa. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I thought about this last night, and part of my angle towards Ranieri might be because he's 67, 68. I mean, it might be his last coaching job. It might not. He's got lots of money, and he doesn't care what people think. And that might sound like an ageist thing. But when he was at Leicester, would he have played Danny Drinkwater as a fullback?
Right.
You know, I mean, would you play Jamie Vardy as a right, you know, as a right-sided midfielder? No. So then, why the hell is he playing Cairney out wide? You've got the fans singing for 90 minutes, "Bring on Cess," and he won't do it. And I'm convinced that's out of spite more than anything else.
Okay.
And you know, and the upshot is, fans were really, really pissed off. And I think the thing behind Allardyce is, well, if we're going to go down, we might as well go down with a fight, because the second half yesterday was awful. And by the way, with the amount of movement that I saw yesterday from players like Fosu Mensah, I'd be picking up the phone, I'd be calling Goodison Park, and I'd be signing Goodison Cat, because he might give us more mobility. Because after his performance yesterday against Wolves, I think he might have helped us yesterday.
Well, what's funny that you bring up Fosu Mensah, and I've actually seen this on Twitter as well. My comment was, why was he so non-aggressive? He was non-aggressive, and I just did not understand why Fosu Mensah was non-aggressive, Giannis. And I just think it was out of fear. He didn't want to make a mistake. But in that situation, you should basically take the opportunity and say, I'm going to make the mess of it, and I'm going to try to make something happen. And he did the exact opposite. He played it safe, and he played right into the hands of Crystal Palace. Because if you read the comments from Claudio Ranieri after the match, a big thing that he's wanted the players to do is crosses in the box for Mitro. Well, again, part of that is that you need to be more aggressive, Giannis. And Fosu Mensah just demonstrated what not to do in that match.
Yeah, it was just, you know what? Let's be honest. This is bloody awful. Why the hell was Fosu Mensah out there? I mean, he's basically hijacked the club by saying he's not going back to Man U. Nobody wants him to play, but he brings him on, and he's still got Cess sitting on the bench. And then, when you got a chance to give Cess a few minutes, you bring bloody Aite on again. Oh,
yep.
My God. I mean, it's bloody mindedness. That's what it is. It's bloody mindedness. And it's like he doesn't give a crap. And the upshot is, as I said, the fans are pissed today because Cardiff went and won, and hey, credit to them. All credit to them. But this was a winnable game, and we're 7 points behind now. So now you look at it, and with the fixtures coming up, you've got to say, well, it's not looking great. So isn't it time to cut the losses and just get a manager who might, I don't know, we remember from 12 years ago. So, you know, is it time for another miracle? Because it's not Ranieri that will bring it.
Well, right now, it doesn't seem like he has the right ideas to keep Fulham up. Again, I think a lot of it has to do with the players, Giannis. They just don't have the right players. They have too many championship players. We've talked about it. But can someone get something else out of them that he hasn't? I don't know. I mean, that's the 100-pound question here. I don't know. But I understand why you're bringing it up, but wouldn't this be similar to bringing in McGaff at this point, Giannis, like we did 5 years ago?
I think so. I think so. But I just feel that the way, you know, Alanis gets he gets a bum rap, but don't forget that he was England manager and his brief tenure was the one game he did win. And you know what? He was considered good enough for that. His record speaks for itself, and it depends on what the ownership think in terms of how much is it worth to try and stave off the drop. And are you going to win? Are you going to start with Ranieri? And the answer's got to be a no. So then if you're going to do that, you might as well pay him his two-year contract off. They've got enough money. And just see if you just throw a, what do you call it, a Hail Mary, and then see what happens.
Yeah, listen, it's puzzling. And now Max brought up a good point, and then I'm going to share my thoughts on the match again because I don't feel any better. I'll just leave it at that. But what did you make of the fact, Giannis, that the last match, we're talking about the Brighton match, they ended with a flat back four, and then he decides to go with a back five, three center backs. Why do you think he did that? I'm just curious your thoughts.
Am I going to be kind or am I going to be diplomatic? I'm non-diplomatic here.
Be non-diplomatic. Be ruthless.
Because he's a village idiot. I mean, if I was being nice, I'd say he had a gut feeling about, you know, the fact that Zaha wasn't playing and, you know, with Van Aanholt and Townsend. And Schlupp that he could count it with three centre backs. I mean, it's naivety personified. The village idiocy piece is if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
It's obviously, but that's just village idiocy because if anybody else can see it, but you can't, and yet you're the person that's there at the helm, then you're doing it for two reasons: either to be for bloody mindedness, or you're completely oblivious.
Or is he tinkering for the sake of tinkering? Because he's known as the Tinker Man. Is he doing it because he's trying to outsmart Roy Hodgson? He feels he needs to be one step ahead. He's thinking, well, Roy thinks I'm going to do this, so I'm going to do this.
Well, I don't know if there's a physical thing such as a tinker, but if I did have a tinker, I know what I'd like to do with it. And it would involve Claudio Ranieri and possibly an orifice. Because it was a game we should have won.
Yes.
And everybody else knows we should have won.
I'm not getting off that, by the way, because I went on Twitter ridiculous. And I said the points were there for the taking, and a writer for The Guardian came at me a little bit. I said, again, this is no disrespect to Crystal Palace, but if you look at them, they were there.
They were
the
no good.
The match was there for them.
They're
I'm sorry minutes. It was.
Yeah. So, you're right, and we offered nothing. I mean, I watch it back, and I'm thinking, there should be some fight. We never shot on target all match. I mean, the Mitro chance, was that our best moment of the entire 90 minutes?
It was.
And that's pathetic. That's the most pathetic thing, was that there was no kind of realization that, wow, this might be a really defining moment in our season. There was no replication of the fight back, of the Brighton fight back. Where was all of that? The players didn't even seem to realize. There just didn't seem to be a moment where they click and said, we need to play. It was a really good metaphor for, I think, this entire season. Guys, which is just one long sleepwalk to relegation, which is just how I hate to say it, this is how I see it going. There
well,
the was no nothing
was
jolted us
match.
in nothing jolted us into action here.
Yeah. The opportunity was there. He switches it up at halftime, changes to what he did after the Brighton match in the second half, and it didn't work this time. And he talks about that in his manager reaction. I don't want to even read the comments from that. I was thinking about it. So you know what? I'm not going to read it. Honestly, because I'm that upset about it. It's like I don't even want to read Claudio's comments because I'm just dumbfounded by some of these decisions. Like I said, is this stubbornness? Is this trying to outthink Roy Hodgson? Because how can he not know at this point that Tom Kearney's best position is not wide? It's central. Why are you doing this? Why are you continue to do this? He's done it a few times, so this isn't the first time. But in a match that you needed to win, play your players in the best positions to succeed. Giannis, I'm getting ready to watch a Super Bowl here, and I know a coach that does that. Claudio Ranieri did not do that yesterday.
No, he didn't. And that's the frustration of, you know, all the fans that filled out the away joint, that walk, that charity walk, the people listening and watching around the world.
Yes.
You know, the first 20, 25 minutes. But to boot, one of the big things that came out yesterday was in the presser afterwards, the BBC interview, where he referred to Cyrus Christie as a fool.
No, right? Actually, I think that's misinterpreted, Giannis. I think he said stupid foul.
Stupid foul.
I think that's immediate.
He's been in England. He coached in England long enough to know the difference between a foul and a fool, surely.
Yeah, no, I think the audio is being misconstrued.
Okay.
Mind you, to be fair to him, that's what we thought at the time. I mean, I was at practice. I went to a practice about an hour after the game. I was at practice. And one of the parents came up to me of my team and said, "What was Christie thinking?" That was hilarious. He had to stretch out to handball it. It was brilliant. Sign him up, but he's a volleyball player. Like, what was he doing? And by that time, again, when the penalty went in, you could tell that was it. It was
the part, Giannis. I'm glad that you said it. That was it. It never should have been it after that penalty. It never should have. And that just shows you the type of team that we have. You should be able to come back from that. And they didn't at all. In fact, they went in the other direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering what that change room was like as well. We've talked about potential next manager, Scott Parker. And
yep.
I know that some people have reservations. And I'm really curious to be a fly on the wall in terms of what is happening inside that change room right now and what the mood is like with the Kearney situation. I mean, let's look what he's done. Mac has been exiled. All right. Yep. Kearney's lost his captaincy. We've sold players. Fair enough. He's not playing Cess. Fosu Mensah shouldn't be there. Then he brings him on. I mean, the mood of the camp right now must be just grim, especially after Tuesday, where you had a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And it's really unfortunate. We've got Manure next. And that's not going to be any easier either. That's why I still think in the next day or two, we may get some movement. It depends how the Khans look at, if they watch the game, and say, "Oh, this just isn't working," and see if they make a change. It wouldn't be unusual to have three managers in the season. So,
well, we've done it already.
So, I mean, I say you've got to get the man who's best equipped to possibly do the unthinkable here.
Okay.
I say, why not?
Okay. Fair enough there, my friend. All right. I'm just going to share this as Max already talked about, and I can hear your frustration, Giannis. And this is a day later. We did full time, and you already said we're probably not going to feel any better a day later. And I got to tell you, I actually feel worse. I didn't think that was possible, but I actually feel worse because I've been on social media. I've been on friendsoffulham.com. I actually posted something on friendsoffulham.com basically just mentioning that the championship isn't the end of the world to me. And there have been some interesting comments after my post, and I understand them, and I respect everyone who has posted. If you see my post on Friends of Fulham, feel free to post on it and share your views on it. But I don't feel that it's the end of the world if Fulham get relegated like I did the first time. I know what to expect. Plus, I know that Fulham will have to sell their best players, but I think they're going to have a good amount of money to rebuild. So that's why I'm not dreading it like I did the first time around. But the mood amongst fans is not good, Giannis. And I think that's why I feel worse about this, because I feel bad for all of the supporters that went to the match, everyone online, everyone's upset. And you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I thought I saw it against Brighton and Hove Albion. I think that's what angers me even more, Giannis.
Yeah, Yeah, it's almost like it led us down into a sort of false sense of security. We thought, okay, well, we've beaten a decent side in Brighton, and then we come out and we lay an absolute ruddy egg.
Yeah,
it's a shame because the first 20-25, I thought we played well. We had good.
I'm glad
possession.
That you said that, and I want to make sure to emphasize this because I don't think I've done it enough. They started the match brightly, and then it really changed after the penalty. So
Mitchell,
I want to give the players
chance.
Credit for that.
Yeah, Mitchell had that chance.
Yes,
which 9 times out of 10 he put away. That's fair enough. Okay, that's one chance. But again, it's an individual. It's not the collective defense. Collectively, how we defended yesterday, it was the individual errors. The Cyrus Christie's face when that penalty was given, when it went in, and at half time, said everything you needed to know. He looked absolutely sick. But the fact is, we've got two fullbacks who are championship players.
Yes.
And Odoi as well. So what do you do? I mean, we've had injuries and it's just not gone for us. And it was just, it's comical. And by that time, we thought we'd come back. The second half was just so underwhelming. Looked like we had no fight.
None. And I think that's what really just upsets me even more. Because if you look at it, and Max, you've said it, now you've said it, Giannis, and I've heard it from Emilio when he was on Love Sport, talking about those first 20-25 minutes where Fulham looked like the better side. And I'm going to agree with that, honestly, because they looked like they were controlling the game. And then you have the situation with Cyrus Christie and everything changed. And I'm sorry, it doesn't need to all change by giving up a goal. You shouldn't feel so sorry for yourself. I'm talking about not just him, but everyone else, that you can't recover from that. A strong team can recover from that. They didn't. So they are where they are because they can't recover from giving up a penalty and the other team scoring. Sorry, not good enough. In fact, poor.
Actually,
right.
Russ.
Yes.
I find it incredible that there's still one team worse than us.
It's amazing. Because honestly, we should be the worst team in the league.
Oh,
but Huddersfield Town is worse.
That Huddersfield Town match, I mean, that was terrible. I mean, you saw it. They're worse than us. And so I think we're terrible, but that was one of the worst curling matches that I've ever seen in my life when I was there late December. That truly was a championship encounter in the top
yes,
flight.
Yes, it was.
And
it was.
I think we're going to face them again next year. So,
I'm planning on that, honestly, because I've gotten to the point, guys, where I've accepted it. And that was also what I did this morning by going on Friends of Fulham. I really have accepted it, but that doesn't mean that I'm not upset.
What if Huddersfield done? They've gone and Wagner's left in an interesting decision. There's no ill will. He's done on his own terms. They brought in this former Dortmund youth coach, right, Jan Sievert. And it seems like they're planning for the future. They've accepted it, and they've gone positive. And for us, listen, I don't want us to accept relegation because a part of me still believes, however unlikely, we can stay up. But I don't know. I think with Jan saying about Allardyce, I think some of that is appealing because a last-ditch attempt to stay in the league. But at the same time, I think we can do something different. We can say, listen, we can let Ranieri go. We can appoint a manager who both has a chance to keep us up, but also will stick with us for the long term if we don't stay up, which is why I'm hesitant for Allardyce because I know he has a good track record of coming and fixing up teams. However, he just seems to me like another Ranieri. Ranieri was brought in to right the ship, shore up our defense, and motivate the players, and he's not done that. And he's probably going to leave if we get relegated. I want to bring in a character who we know is going to stay with us no matter what happens next year, right? And that will build us back up. And if we get another third manager in here, like we did Magat, and he stays and ruins us, we just need a fresh start. And that's why I don't think Allardyce can provide us that fresh start next season.
Okay. That's very interesting there, Max. All right, guys, let's get into this. Let's get it over with. Let's start with the starting 11 and the 18 overall. I've already mentioned that Fulham went with three center backs, basically a back five. So, Giannis, your thoughts on the starting 11 and the 18 overall?
Yuck. Well, I mean, a couple of things. Seth's not in the lineup again. Danny out wide again. I was curious to see if Markovic was going to make the 18. Obviously, he didn't.
Yeah.
Same old, really. As soon as I saw the formation, I thought, oh, Lord, we could be in trouble here. And as I said, I mean, we got off to a decent start and then one individual error and that's it. But the first question was just the lineup. And you look, it's just, we're not strong enough in breadth, and we're not, you look at the bench and it's sorry looking. There's really nothing there that can say, well, somebody's going to come on and maybe change the game. Obviously, Boo Boo's gone. So it's thin. It's bare. It looks what it looks. It's not a Premier League squad.
No, it's not. It's a Championship squad. It really is. And we saw that yesterday, because what I was thinking, Giannis, again, going back to the lineup and going back to the game, how different is this match from the first time we played Crystal Palace? 2-0 both times. They were professional. They got their goals and they won the match. They weren't spectacular. They certainly weren't spectacular this time either. And they just did what they did. You know, they were just a well-drilled team. And we made it easy for them in the second half. That's the way I look at it. And when I saw the lineup, I thought, okay, he's reverting back to how he started the match against Brighton and Hove Albion. And I'm just thinking, why? Why is he doing that? So, Max, your thoughts on that, on the starting lineup?
If anything, we've regressed since that first match of the season. I remember back in August, Mitrovic had probably 6 or 7 shots in that first half.
He did.
There are times in that first half, Russ, when I was dreaming, and I said, I felt, listen, if we play like this, we can compete in the Premier League. And it justified a lot of that early season optimism.
I actually thought the same thing, Max.
Right?
I was there with you, actually.
Yeah, because we were toe-to-toe with Palace, an established Premier League team. Now, fast forward however many months later, half a year later, we didn't offer anything. There was no attack, right? And Palace, I think, were even worse. But they deserved the win, you know? In that first match of the season, I don't think that it was probably a draw. It was a fair result. Remember, it was kind of a lucky goal. Zaha, it was a terrible mistake by Fabry to come out. And Schlupp's first strike was actually a wonder goal near post. So, if anything, we've gone back, which is a sad thing to say. It really is.
Yeah.
We've already mentioned the main things about the lineup. I think I agree with everything. One thing I will say, just a small note of optimism. We will be stronger. You know, we have Nordveit, Markovic, right? These players will come in and provide upgrades. So we won't have to see the likes of Ayite again. We probably won't see, I don't know, I mean, Ream, Adoy. I think Le Marchand will probably keep his place, I'd say, but one of those other center backs will drop out of the side. So there will be small improvements. And I think they obviously weren't what we needed, but I think Markovic will come on and he'll do a better substitute job than Ayite did. Yeah. And I think he might provide a competition of Babel, because I think Babel was one of the really disappointments for me. Against Palace, he did nothing. And I was really expecting him to kind of have a standout match.
Okay, very good. And the one thing that I want to add about comparing the first time they played to now is I was also looking at the opening 20 to 25 minutes where Fulham played decently, and then something happens, they score a goal, and everything changed. And that happened the first time the teams played as well. But the second half performance from Fulham, like I've mentioned before, was putrid. And we're going to go through it right now, guys. Let's, again, take off that band-aid. We're going to rip it off. So let's start off from the beginning. And, Giannis, I'm going to go to you. We've already discussed this several times. Fulham actually played well in the beginning stages. And you already said this. 11th minute, Mitro misses a header that goes wide. And this is going to happen. But unfortunately, Fulham didn't create anything else. But this was a wonderful opportunity for Mitrovic. And it just should have been an indicator that it wasn't going to be our day, Giannis.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, he's going to finish that one. And I think he maybe lost sight of where he was in the box. And you could see from his reaction after the header that he realized he should have put it away. But it's just one chance. You know, there's no reason to believe that if the fullbacks are doing their job, they won't get the crosses in to give Mitro the time and the space to you know, get some headers and get some shots off. Unfortunately, one of the problems really for us this season has been the inability of the fullbacks to do their job and service the strikers and go up and down the field. They've been susceptible defensively, and when they've been attacking, the service has been putrid at best.
Terrible.
Yeah, it has, and it's not been good enough. So it's unfortunate that you know we look at that chance and it's one he knows he should finish, but there weren't many, and that's the problem. They're not doing their job, and again I go back to Tony Khan. We knew that we needed a right back. We probably needed an upgrade at left back. And we've done absolutely nothing about it. and someone who could do at least cross the, get the ball in the box, and they couldn't do that. So what you got is that often we have games like this with slim pickings, and had we scored, it's probably a completely different game, but we didn't. And unfortunately, well, the rest was history.
It was, Giannis, and it didn't need to be that way, but that was Fulham's best opportunity. Again, we're going to talk about it. No shots on target, but this was the closest that they got, and it was unfortunate that Mitro missed. He's more often than not going to score, but you need to be creating more. And like I mentioned in the major reaction, and I've heard it time and time again, Ranieri wants more crosses in the box, and I agree with him, but they have to be quality crosses in the box, and the service that he's getting is just not good enough. That's the bottom line. All right, Max, I'm going to give you the honors. I'm sorry I have to give you the honors of talking about the handball for Cyrus Christie. Let's walk us through this, my friend.
So when you're a right back and you're up against a physical center forward, you know it's going to be a battle. So naturally, if I'm Cyrus Christie, I just throw my hands in the air to show my exasperation. Because, Benteke's a big lad. I don't really fancy defending him. So let me just swing my, I hit my hands. That's a penalty. What on earth is he thinking? And it's just baffling, because if you're going up against a player, if you're jumping, let's say you're going, why are your hands in the air like that when you're jumping? That's not even a natural jumping position. And just and then the ball's there, and you just let him push your hand to the ball. I can't even begin to describe what he's going through, because there's no explanation for it. It's a schoolboy error, but then that's probably an insult, as people have said in the show, to people who play at the youth level. There's no excuse for that type of lapse, right? And it's not the first time we've seen Cyrus Christie do it. We've seen him do it 10, 15 times all season probably, and it's cost us a lot of goals. But at the end of the day, that is an individual error. And it's almost like we probably should have strengthened our fullback positions over the entire month. It's almost like that probably should have been the first priority. I don't possibly know how to Tony Khan could have said that, because that's a really tough thing to look at from the stats. You know, you really got to look very deep, very precise analysis. I'll cut him some slack there. But let's shift this to Ranieri, because I think there are two big issues with this team, right? It's the individual errors, which has plagued Fulham all season long. And under Slavisa, under Ranieri, same thing. There's been no improvement under that. No. You can't fix that as a manager. What the manager can do, right, is fix the team he selects, the substitutions he makes, and the type of encouragement he gives. That's what the manager can do. And although Ranieri can't be blamed for what the moment of badness from Christie, the terrible positional awareness, he can be blamed for the subs he made and for the subs he didn't make, and also the formation he played. So part of me wants to blame this all on the individual players, which it is, but another part has to look at the manager, because he's so severely lacking in judgment right now. It's baffling.
Okay, excellent there. Max, and I want to share this, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show, but right after Fulham signed Cyrus Christie, I got a message from Andy Buckley-Taylor, who was a Derby County supporter, and he told me basically, I don't remember the exact message, but he was telling me he's not good enough. He told me that outright. He is not good enough for us. You're not going to be happy with Cyrus Christie. And Andy was right a year ago. He turned out to be right, you know, and it's unfortunate, because is he good enough for the championship? I don't know. It's a great question. Is Cyrus Christie good enough for the championship? I don't know. But right now we have a bunch of championship players, and it's embarrassing to watch the individual errors over and over again. And that's the difference between the Premier League and the championship. You know, we're seeing way too many of these. You can understand some, but it happens over and over again. All right. Let's move on. And again, the rest of the half, there really isn't much really to say. I mean, you have the opportunity, the great opportunity from Benteke in the 36th minute where he hits the crossbar. It could have very easily been 2-0 at that point. And then later on in the 44th minute, Mitro does have a header that goes over, but not really a great opportunity. And then let's just move right to the second half. And Giannis, I'm going to go to you. Here was the big move for Claudio Ranieri. He brings on Vietto for Tim Ream. What were your thoughts when he did this? Did you think this was going to work at the time? It didn't.
Yeah,
but did you think it was going to work?
Yeah, I did. I did actually. I thought that in light of what had happened on Tuesday night, I think that Vietto would probably consider himself a little unlucky not to make the starting lineup. And Ream right now seems to be Ranieri's punching bag in terms of substitutions. I thought he did okay in the first half, to be honest, but he brought Vieto on to add a bit more attack, but he didn't get a lot of service. And as long as you had Kearney, and the poor fella, Kearney's playing out wide, and every time he's getting the ball, he's looking to cutting across the middle. But then that's the effort of having to cut across the middle, and of course Palace have picked up on that.
Yep.
And the service to Vieto was just not good enough. And if you say keys to the game, the key to the game in many ways is the decision to start Kearney wide. He had to start in the middle.
That's why I keep going back to that, Giannis. I can't get away from that.
It's such a baffling move, because I haven't spoken to anyone or seen anyone on social media who said, yeah, that was a good move. So if we all see it.
We all see it. Amateurs. That's what's driving me crazy. Yeah. We all know it. I knew it 3 years ago with Tom Kearney, when Tom Kearney was played out wide. Why doesn't Claudio Ranieri see it?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I don't know. I think maybe he's just lost the plot. And that is why I'm hoping, you know, the Khans look at this. You know, really look at this weekend. And that's okay, we've got another week of training and da-da-da. And Nordveit and Markovic come in and say, look, is this group of athletes responding? And are we alienating / isolating our best players? You know, and the answer would be yes. I mean, the biggest problem I still think now in terms of future is Sessegnon.
Yeah.
Sess's confidence is shot. He needs to play. Kearney needs to play in the middle. And it just, I don't know. And it's a head scratcher. And really, Palace didn't have to do a lot yesterday to win.
No. They certainly did not, Giannis.
And it was. I mean, if Benteke's goal would have gone in, it would have been an absolute worldly, sensational effort. But he's been struggling to get goals, although he's, you know, coming back from injury. They didn't have their best player in Zaha, and yet, I don't think they're back for as much cop. And yet, we still struggled to break them to do any. We weren't even penetrating from the midfield. And Seri, more often than not, was getting caught on the ball. Chambers was doing his usual stuff, working hard. But it was forlorn from the first minute.
Yeah, it was really bad. And Max, I'm going to go to you, because I think the best way to talk about the second half is just the non-aggressive nature of Fulham, because they have all this possession, but it's like basically they're really not going anywhere, nowhere to really hurt Crystal Palace. They were comfortable. They were seriously comfortable. There was nothing really going on. And here's something that stands out to me. And listen, Crystal Palace had some good opportunities to score. You have the opportunity in the 54th minute by Jordan Ayew, and it was a nice save by Rico. I think Rico obviously kept Fulham in the match. 65th minute, Rico saved Schlupp. And again, you have these opportunities. And in the 72nd minute, Sacco just misses. So they were dodging real issues here in the second half. And the one thing that stands out to me, I'm just going to give you one stat, because this to me is a mind-numbing stat. Corners, Max. Remember how many corners Crystal Palace had? They had 11. 11-1. And it just seemed like over and over and over again. That's credit to Crystal Palace, because they kept the pressure on. So what are your thoughts about everything that led up before the goal that ended the match, basically?
It just, there wasn't anything there, you know. There were no moments when you felt no turning points. You felt that we kick into it. And that was just so depressing about it, was that you knew that we had it in us to come back from a fight back. Because we just saw it a couple of days ago against Brighton. But no player stepped up. No one looked like a leader out there. No one changed the match. And that's what really gives me the least hope for the season, because we need to win away matches to stay in this division.
Right? Absolutely.
We won away a match all season. It's February the 3rd. That's a disgrace. I mean, I remember back when the Premier League in the 2010s, right? That was kind of our thing, is that we were always so poor on the road. We'd go away, and even if we're winning, we chant, you know, how shy must you be? We're winning away. That was another great chance. I remember going away matches in the Mark Hughes era and in the Marniol era too. And we've taken that to the next level this season. There just doesn't seem to be any type of spark, any type of nous, any type of know-how of how to go to another team's stadium and get a result. And that's just baffling because Ranieri should know how to do that from all his years of experience. These players have won away in the championship. They've won away in different teams. And they come here and they just don't know what to do. If you look at the matches we have to go to, the biggest one for me is Southampton away.
Yeah.
Massive.
They have to win that.
And I see no reason why we can win it because we just don't seem to have an effective game plan to play away from home. It's amazing it's taken until February. Well, it's not taking to February. It hasn't been addressed, and it's still February. I don't know where it's going to come from.
Yeah, well, I think you just nailed it, Max. They have to win on the road. There are two road matches coming up, and honestly, they probably need to win both of them.
And the away support,
it's likely that they're going to not win either one of them. The away
support has been fantastic all season. So for anyone to say, oh, it has to be the atmosphere, that's completely wrong, because I think one of the biggest credits to us Fulham supporters this season has been they've traveled home and away, away in particular, and
been great.
By far the best set of supporters, I'd say.
Yeah, the Fulham supporters have been excellent, Max.
Yeah.
They're not the issue.
Exactly.
They don't deserve this.
Exactly. And
they don't deserve this.
They don't deserve it at all. And it seems, you know, when I think of why do teams play so differently home versus away, an argument that's often brought up is, well, you're in a different stadium. It's more imposing atmosphere. You don't have your home fans behind you. If anything, I'd say probably the away support has been more encouraging than sometimes it is at the Cottage. Because those are the diehard fans who travel.
I heard the Fulham fans throughout the match. They were loud. I'm just telling you.
So
they were loud. They were into it.
It's the players, and it's inexcusable.
Yeah. It comes down to them. And, you know, and I just want to mention, because I think this is a key moment in the match, Cyrus Christie gets hurt, and Fulham actually get worse because they bring on Timothy Fosu-Mensah. We've already mentioned that kind of because that was an opportunity maybe to do something different, but if you thought that it couldn't get worse, it actually did get worse when Cyrus Christie came off. And Giannis, I'm going to give you the honors of talking about the goal that put this match away. It was a rebound off of a shot from Batshuayi that Jeffrey Schlupp put in the back of the net. It was a good save by Sergio Rico. But anyone that watches it, tell me a Fulham defender you see anywhere near Schlupp. I didn't see one, my friend. Your thoughts?
I think Goodison Cat was closer to Schlupp than the defenders were. And he was 300 miles away. It's a bit scary, isn't it, really? You know, the transfer window, and at the 11th hour, they pick up Batshuayi. And you go, oh, no, he's going to play a part.
He did.
And we're all groaning when he comes on. And, oh, here we go. And it was a lovely shot. I think a very, very good save by Rico. Very, very fine save.
Yeah, but it's not his fault.
No, it's not. And the defenders are standing there like bloody lemons. And it's gone in the back of the net, and that's the end of that.
Yeah, and match is over at that point.
Yeah, and the look on Ranieri's face said, I mean, just Fulham fans just groaning. We've just come to a really poor... Well, Sellers Park's a bit of a dive, to be honest. It looks more or less the same 30 years ago. And we've come to play a team who, on the basis of Tuesday night's second half, we've got a chance of getting something out of it. That's why I predicted 1-1 before. I'd have actually been happy with a point. But, you know, 2-0 and that's it, really. 6 minutes of injury time. We didn't know. We could have played 600 minutes of
didn't matter
injury time because it was the Tompkins injury.
They weren't going to score. Didn't matter. They could have given them an additional 30 minutes. They weren't going to score.
Yeah,
that's
interesting.
The bottom line.
Yeah, Tom. You look at Tompkins. You know, he got a crack on the accident. Mitrovic sort of caught him in the back, and he still wanted to play on. And you know, that's.
Can I just ask you about that real quick, Giannis? Because I thought about it at the time, and again, this doesn't take anything away from Crystal Palace winning this match. My first thought is, what's he doing still playing in this match? Because of, again, he banged his head. Sorry, I have to say it. When are they going to take more concern over players? I don't care which team. If it happened to a Fulham player, I'd be saying the same thing. What are your thoughts on that? Because my first thought was, he shouldn't be returning. They should be replacing him.
I think that's a very good point. And the only thing I can think of is that they undertook concussion protocol but he was okay.
Okay.
But I mean,
if that's the case, that's fine. But that was the first thought that went through my mind.
Yeah, and it did look a mess, though. I mean, it did look a mess. But then Tompkins, I've always liked him not just the Palace, but when he was at West Ham, he's a good, honest pro.
Oh, he is.
And he'll give you everything he's got. And it was disappointing that, that a lot of our players didn't show that fight. But then, again, I'm going to go back to decision-making from the bench. Although something you said earlier about the Christie thing, the one thing I will say to defend Ranieri is, how in hell's name can you you can't have control over a guy that's going to go up for a header, sticking his arm out like he's waiting for a bus.
Yeah.
Because as a manager, or as a coach, I mean, you really want to run across the right white lines and cuff him across the head. And what are you doing? But you can't. And that's one of the frustrating things about it.
To be honest, he should know better. Again, I keep going back to this. It's a championship player. He shouldn't be out there.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know, but that now goes back to the cards because we've got no one.
Yeah.
And if you've got no one, you might as well bring Steve Sess in.
I was just about to say, you just read my mind. If it's so bad, why not give Steven Sessegnon a shot? You can't do any worse than Cyrus Christie and Timothy Fosu-Mensah at this point. Why not?
Absolutely. And you know what? You could put Goodison Cat on one side, and I understand there's a new animal that might be signed up, King Power Pigeon. From today, and he could go on the other side, and he, they might not be very big players, but they'll give you lots of energy.
Absolutely, that's pretty funny, there, my friend. All right, let's move on. We have to wrap up the show because it's very depressing on Super Bowl Sunday for me, Giannis, to be talking about this. But let's go through the stats. Let's see what they tell us. Okay, here are the stats from this match. Very interesting. Possession in favor of Fulham, 63% to 37% for Crystal Palace. Total shots, this is revealing, 17-8 in favor of Crystal Palace. On target, Crystal Palace had 6. Fulham had a big whopping 0. Nothing. Corners, as I mentioned before, 11-1 in favor of Crystal Palace. That's a telling stat for me. Crosses, 27 for Crystal Palace, and 21 bad ones for Fulham. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. Let's see, what else do we have here? Let's go to passing accuracy. 76% for Crystal Palace. This is a good stat for Fulham, usually 85%. But ask yourself, how much of that was attacking? It couldn't have been that much, because a lot of those passes really went nowhere. It was really a road to nowhere on Saturday. And fouls? 12-9 in favor of Fulham. Max, I'll go to you first. What stands out to you from the full-time stats?
I mean, the no shots on target. It's embarrassing. And it's kind of the biggest takeaway for me from the Ranieri era, which is kind of tough to swallow. But although I think as a whole, he's turned around a defense in a big way, has he worsened the attack? And it's something to consider because, one of my main arguments with Slavisa towards
Emilio has been talking about the lack of attack for a while.
Right, that's right. But also, listen, we can't make a Slavisa nostalgic revisionist argument, because if you remember, the last matches of the Slavisa era were really characterized by nothing in attack and kind of an emotionless attack with just kind of passing for the sake of passing, no penetration, no forward runs, right? So we can't just say, oh, we've lost the Slavisa attack. There was nothing in the Premier League for Slavisa either. So let's not say that. But what we can say is that there doesn't seem to be anything with Ranieri either, right? There doesn't seem to be a game plan. We saw glimpses of it in the matches against Southampton with that really quick, penetrative, forward passing play, which we thought would provide the basis for what Ranieri would do in the future. But that's shown to be false. That was a false dawn. We saw glimpses against Brighton, but that's also shown to be almost the players reverting back to the best of Slavisa, right? But that does not seem to be an impetus from the manager. So for me, I just don't know what our attacking ethos is right now, other than pump balls in the box or Mitrovic, which is not a terrible idea, but we don't know the players to do that, quite frankly, because there's no really quality in attacking service. So that's my biggest takeaway.
Absolutely.
There's no shots on target.
Where's
the attack?
And that's what you're trying to do.
Exactly. Without a doubt.
Okay, very good. Over to you, Giannis. What stands out to you from the full-time stats?
We didn't score a bloody goal.
Well, that's usually a good stat to look at.
Goal. And if we, I mean, we've had a slice of luck. We could have done a Burnley, no shots on net and 2 own goals. But of course, that wasn't going to happen because we've got to get the ball in the bloody box. But no, I mean, just I mean, it's what do you do? No shots on that. You're not going to win any games, and the best you can get is a draw. And you know, as Max said at the start, I mean, Palace are a functional team with some good players that maybe should be a little higher than they are, if only because they've got some good players, but they're disciplined and they don't get ruffled. And they do.
But they're functional, like you said. That's who they are.
They're functional. Just... And that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're dysfunctional. We're dysfunctional. We really are. We can't defend. We don't create enough chances. I believe the second half in a way against Brighton was an aberration. It was just one of those things where did they just score four in a game, let alone four and a half? I mean, it's yesterday was will the real Fulham stand up? I think we saw it yesterday in the second half in particular. We never ever looked like troubling them, and that was the worst bit. It was not like the last 10 minutes suddenly panic stations and start pushing bodies forward and threat. No, it was like we just gave up.
Yeah, it's funny, Giannis, when you really look at it. The outlier is the second half against Brighton Hove Albion. It's the aberration. It just everything else has been the exact opposite. I just thought after that this is what we would see. And boy, was I wrong. I mean, we basically reverted back to type, and it's very sad to watch this season. It's gone from bad to worse. So, Giannis, I'm going to go back to you.
Yep.
Give me a rating for Claudio Ranieri.
Zero.
Okay.
I don't know.
Can I second that, by the way?
I can't. I can't think of where to give him a point. Again, if I had a tinker, I could give him a point. But I can't think of where the lineup. The lineup was wrong. The positions were wrong. The sub. Well, the Vieta thing. I understand. Christie's got injured. But you know, Sessegnon being benched, Aiete coming on. Yeah, I know I'm an Aiete boo boy, but so be it. Where's Corley Woodrow? I can't justify a point. I can't do it. It'd go against my moral purpose.
Okay. Max, over to you. You always seem to give a point. Are you going to give a point here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sticking with Giannis. I'm giving a zero.
Well, I'm going to seem like the Ranieri a fanboy here. No, I'm not going to. Honestly, not going to give him a rating because I just don't think he deserved one, to be fair. Second, everything you guys said, there's so much stuff he got wrong there. And the worrying thing is that I don't think he's going to realize it. I really do think he's a very strong-willed man, very much in the mold of
Ivanovic. I think he believes what he believes.
Very much in the mold of Ivanovic, I would say, in that
he's
going to find it very hard to admit he's wrong. And I just cannot really see the formation changing.
And what's funny about that, Max, is that usually someone that tinkers as much as he does, because I know managers and coaches that change things up when things don't work, I would think that they'd be able to admit that they're wrong. I don't think he's one of those people that can admit that they made a mistake, because I think he's made a lot of mistakes here.
Yeah. I mean, and I think his, you know, his tinker man, that's how he's known as. But I think he's almost adopted a different personality for this job at Fulham. Because he's seen himself as a firefighter almost. And he thinks that the only way to fight this fire is with that five at the back at all costs. So that's almost the biggest tinker, is that he's unwilling to change it from the start. He'll go on at halftime and ring in wholesale changes.
Right.
But I think he's said to himself, he's determined, we need to stop shipping goals. We need to get a clean sheet first and then build. So that's what I think his philosophy is. And that's why he's really steadfast.
Right. And he played it conservative, and it really just bit him in the behind, because he thought he could then become more aggressive when they're down a goal and things would happen like they did against Brighton and Hove Albion, except that, as Giannis said, the team that they played is a serviceable team that is professional and they just do their job, and they were difficult to break down. So it was useless at that point. If you started that way, maybe things would have been different, but that's what he decided to do. He reverted back to type. And we got what we deserved, nothing. Yeah. And if you can't tell, I'm still pretty angry, and it's been a day later. But listen, you know, it's funny. I usually feel better after doing these shows, Max. I say this to you all the time. I feel better. I actually feel worse. I can't believe I'm going to say that.
Because you know why, Russ? I think this is the first time that relegation is finally setting it into our minds.
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, I'm always the eternal optimist. I think you're with me there. Giannis,
I am.
Too. But this is
right. I just don't see it right now.
We're kind of accepting that it's not going to happen this season. And that's what's so disappointing.
I think you just nailed it, Max. I've accepted it. And that's why I'm angry, because I finally got to the point where I realized that it's going to happen. And I don't want to see it happen. And even though, like, I've written on Friends of Foam, I don't think it's the end of the world to go to the championship, but it does hurt to get relegated another time. And it's just, this match just for me was the worst of the season. I can't believe I'm saying that, because the Huddersfield Town match was horrible. I just think this was worse, because I think this put the nail in the coffin for me, if that makes any sense, guys. This is when it all ended for me. And I'm thinking like Giannis now. Play some of the youngsters. Why not play Luca Della Torre while we're at it? Where has he been? You know, why not play some youngsters? Get him some experience. You know, I mean, at this point, I don't know what they're doing, because whatever that Ranieri's doing right now is just not good enough. Anyways, great show, guys. You know, even though I don't feel any better, guys did an excellent job. Giannis, thank you so much for doing this today.
Yeah, Ross, we didn't pick a man of the match.
I did that on purpose, Giannis, honestly.
Oh.
Would you like to give a man of the match?
Tony Khan.
I'm actually, yes, I'm going to give a man of the match. I will give a man of the match.
Okay.
Unbelievable. My man of the match is going to be Callum Chambers. I thought yesterday he covered every blade of grass. This guy is an absolute workhorse, and he's one of the few players, really, that came off the field with any sort of credit.
Fair enough.
And you know what? He's going back to, when he goes back to Arsenal, he's going to go back a better player. And he's somebody who's obviously, the good thing I like about him is he fights for the cause. And
yes, he does. He is a fighter. That's actually a positive to take out of that. Max, your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Our worst player yesterday. I'm going to have to. Our worst player yesterday.
Okay.
Was the rest of them. except
it's a tie.
Rico, good save. Mitro's tried hard.
Yeah.
But it was an absolute squib.
Yeah.
And Tony Khan better have thick skin, because he's got more arrows coming at him now, not just in terms of what happened with the transfer deadline. Let's not forget that. I mean, that was a squib, followed by this. You know what? You live by the sword, you die by the sword. And the moral of the story is, if you can't do a job yourself because of lack of experience, don't do it. Get someone else who can do the job.
Totally agree. Know your strengths and your weaknesses, my friend. And some of the best leaders surround themselves with good people.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that he doesn't have good people around him. He does. Underneath him, but I think he needs someone either on his level or someone to assist him on how it all works, because right now he needs, you know, and again, they have this with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have a Tom Coughlin there. Why not have that type of person at Fulham Football Club?
It's not his first priority. And for every single fan who goes out and pays the hard-earned money to see the team play, for every single fan that internationally, he wakes up at whatever hour in the morning to watch his team play, Fulham is their first priority. They love Fulham. We live and die by Fulham. And Tony Khan can go back to wrestling, can go back to the Jaguars, can go back to whatever nice plush lifestyle he has with his father's money. But at the end of the day, Fulham fans can't do that. And that's what he fails to understand. He can say he can multitask all he wants. That might be true, but you can't multitask for a club that we love, because that's just not good enough. We need your undivided attention. And if you can't give that, and he's shown he can't give that, he should step away.
Okay.
And look at all the, and Russ, look at all the jerseys we buy. Look at all the merchandise we buy, the programs we buy, the podcast, this incredible podcast that you put together, all the stuff that in social media, all of us, you know, whether we like each other or not, we disagree or we agree, we all love Fulham. We all have a vested interest in this club, and we're not part-time fans. This goes back decades and decades, and, you know, players loved and lost, and fans and family loved and lost. This is what it's all about, and it's not just about this season. It's about, you know, it's our heritage and how we feel about our club. And I hate to think of it, it's almost bastardized by this haphazard approach of, you know, reactivity that has put us in this position, because that's what's happened. And that's where we are now. We are the team that we are by right. We are the 19th worst team in this division. And frankly, we should be the 20th.
Okay. And listen, I understand everything that you said, and I'm going to share this with you. And I've kind of kept this to myself because, you listen, I respect Tony. He's come on this show, and I appreciate when he did come on this show. But if he's going to accept the praise, he should also accept the criticism. But I'm going to share this with you. This is just me. It bothered me. Fulham are playing a derby against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. And yes, I know he doesn't need to be there, but it bothered me, guys, that later that day, he was shown in the box with Tom Coughlin at a Jaguars game. Now, I understand that they own both teams, but you are the director of football for Fulham Football Club. You are playing a derby. Your club is playing a derby against your local rival, and you are at a Jaguars game. It bothered me, Giannis. And I'm finally saying it a couple months later. That bothered me. And it's sitting with me for the past couple months with everything going on. What is your priority? Max just said it. You can multitask all you want, but your number one priority is Fulham Football Club. It should be.
Yeah. And I don't think everyone's questioning he loves the club. I think what we saw.
I'm not questioning it either.
I really do believe Tony Khan cares about Fulham.
I know he does.
And that's why I think a lot of the attacks can kind of be construed as personal. It's not at all. I think Tony Khan loves Fulham. I think he's sincerely trying to do the best job he can. But at the end of the day, he has to realize, because he loves Fulham, because of his passion and his respect for this club, he needs to realize that he's not doing a good enough job, because he simply can't do three jobs at once, right? He can't be involved with the wrestling, with the Jaguars, and with Fulham. No man can do that, no matter if you think you're the smartest guy on the face of the earth. You just can't. And that's just simple common sense. There's nothing personal about that attack. It's saying you can't do these high-pressure jobs at once because it's clearly not working. And sure, you've had successes. But if you're going to be in the Premier League, the most demanding sports league in the entire world, you have to give your full and undivided attention. And it's clear. It's clear he doesn't have that full.
Well, listen, the way that I look at it, I mean, I'm thinking about someone that I follow very closely, Bill Belichick, to coach in another Super Bowl. This would be like Bill Belichick coaching the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, and then the next day preparing to be the manager of the Boston Red Sox, which, again, you can't do. You are going to be doing one or the other. You know, you're going to put all your efforts into one thing, and that for him is the New England Patriots. He is invested in all facets of the New England Patriots. And again, with Tony Khan, I just want him to be extremely invested, and Fulham comes first. And for me, if Fulham comes first, what are you doing in a local derby, not at Stamford Bridge? Instead, you are at a Jaguars game. Sorry, I have to bring it up one last time. That just got underneath my skin. All right.
Bro.
Weird way to end the show, guys, talking about Tony Khan. But I guess that's the frustration we all have. All right.
I hope you enjoy your game today. It's a big game, obviously, here in North America with the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
And it should make the best team win, and let's hope it's thoroughly entertaining. And tomorrow morning is another morning, and who knows what news will come. And let's just keep supporting Fulham and hope that a miracle is possible.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. Max, thank you as always for doing the show.
Sure, and just one last note about Fulham. I'd have to say, best of luck to Marcus Bedinelli. I think the news came out today that he's going to have a knee operation or something with his leg. He's a serious injury, long-term injury. And that's why, you know, he's out of the squad. Fabry's come in for second choice. But I saw reports on Twitter that he'll be out for the remainder of the season. So I really wish him well in his recovery.
Glad that you mentioned that. And I wish him all the best. Great job there, my friend, for mentioning that. Well, listen, we need to wrap up this show. For Max Cohen and Yash and I'm Russ Cohen. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.
It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDougal share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.